Good day, everyone. Happy 4th of July. This is Father David from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and this is Episcopal Ramblings from North Idaho. Today, we begin our service with prayers that we would remember the commandments of God summarized by Jesus to love God with all our heart and our neighbors as ourselves. And we say, grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you, O God, with our whole heart, and be united to one another with pure affection. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. So today, on this 4th of July, we hear of kingmakers and of God deniers in today's scriptures from 2 Samuel and from Mark. We hear of power given and power not given. We hear of roadblocks and new pathways. It's fitting that today's scriptures carry us onward in our reflections on power that we are undertaking through this summer, through the readings that we get in our lectionary. And today, especially as this nation celebrates its Declaration of Independence. Today, in the scripture readings, we hear of David being made king at the consent and request of the elders of Israel. And we hear of Jesus being unable to do any acts of power back in his own hometown and home country because the people chose to take offense at him. We hear of Jesus sending his disciples out to bring God's good news in word and healing power with nothing but each other and a hospitality of strangers to rely on and the impact that they had across the country. We hear in the epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the second epistle, of Paul wrestling with his own spiritual power and finding a message from God coming to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." So, what is power? And what's the power of God in a world where it so often seems that power is used in corrupt and abusive ways? What's the power of the kingdom of God, the way of Jesus? We can recall that power itself, like desire or like ownership and possession, is not in and of itself evil or good. Power, like desire or having something, is a truth in life in this world that God has created. And so power is a gift to be used. Power is the ability to act, to make something happen, to bring about change, or to keep something moving steadily. Power involves our movement and effort in the world, putting ourselves out there in some way, in interaction with the world all around us. You get yourself out of bed in the morning. You put your hand on the door knob to go outside. Those are acts of power. It's how we use power and for what intent we use power and with what impact on others we use power. And for that matter, how we recognize and work with other people's and other creatures' powers that we move into the territory of power for good and power for evil and sin. Today we hear how in a world of non-acceptance, God's power is made perfect in weakness. There's power given or not given. The choice to give power to someone and to share power is just that, a choice. The elders of Israel could have chosen not to accept David as their king, for instance. But they still wanted a king. And David was already highly regarded for what he had done for Israel, even while he was being pursued as an enemy and fugitive by the previous king, Saul. It was natural for the elders to make the choice. They could have made a different choice, but they chose David. And this makes the story very different than if David had attempted to seize power by force. So there's power that is given or not given. There's also a power of receiving or not receiving someone else's power and authority. And this is what we see in the gospel, the choice to receive what someone offers and extends, or not. In many ways, the power of the receiver is what actually completes the circuit and opens up the flow of power to have its full impact, like a light switch. Actually, it's when the light switch is off that you have not shut down the power, but you have interrupted the flow and cut the circuit. So Jesus found the flow of God's power blocked by the attitudes of people in his own hometown region. Everywhere else so far in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has been taking on the binding powers of darkness directly, healing people considered incurable of all kinds of mental, physical, and spiritual ailments. And he's been encountering opposition by religious leaders and suspicion of maybe even insanity by his own family, who had attempted to come and take him home quietly. But here, when he came by his own volition back with his disciples to his own hometown, nothing that he did seemed to have an impact. People were so wrapped up in their own memories of Jesus growing up and the images they had in their minds of him and his family and the gossip that they knew about them that they could not hear him for what he was really saying and offering them. They were astounded, in other words, shocked at his teaching, and they took offense at him. And so the Gospel of Mark says Jesus could do no acts of power there. Literally, in the Greek, he did not have the power to, i.e. was not able to act, to make something happen, to bring about any change or lift up any strong, steady paths forward for people. He was only able to do a few healings there, nothing else. Now, this is the Son of God we are talking about here. This is God incarnate, God with us, who finds himself unable to do something because we will not receive. What are we to make of that, friends? Just ponder that. Everywhere else, Jesus found the power flowing through him to others who were eager to receive. Remember from last week, when we read about the woman who reached out to touch his clothing and power flowing out of Jesus because Jesus was exercising that power of complete openness and availability, the woman was ready, eager to receive. Now, there is a power that comes with fresh contact, with being the new person and stranger who brings fresh hope and possibility to people who are so ready to receive. But at home, Jesus finds the confining power of expectations and habits of mind that end up blocking people's openness to something new. Raw power by force, or even by nagging or cajoling or pleading or charm, can't break through confining expectations and biases that people have. Think about times in our own lives when we've encountered that kind of resistance to who we are and what we bring as children of God. What we know in our hearts is good and from God and from our hearts as beloved, made in God's image. Think about times when the tables have been turned in the opposite direction and we have been the ones who have not been willing to receive the gifts pouring out from someone else. Think about the discomfort of Thanksgiving reunions or returning home to a place where the same conversations and patterns and ideas have frozen people's minds and hearts, at least from where we sit. And here's where Jesus finds himself, at the family or neighborhood gathering, like our Thanksgiving or Christmas or 4th of July weekend, and he could do no deed of power. And here's the thing, Jesus knew that more force wouldn't work, wouldn't break through. You all know the old Aesop's fable of the wind, the sun, and the man with a coat? It goes like this. The wind and the sun were having an argument about who was the strongest, the most powerful. They couldn't settle the argument, so they looked to have a contest. There was a man walking along with a coat on. The sun said, "Let's see who can get the man to take the coat off." The wind went first and started blowing to get the coat off the man. The man felt the wind and began to pull his coat closer around him. So the wind blew harder, and the man tugged his coat around him tighter. And this went on for a while, until the wind was almost blowing the man over. Then the wind was exhausted and stopped. The sun stepped forward and said, "Let's see how this works." And the sun shone gently and steadily down. The air grew warmer, and the man looked up, saw it was a nice and warm day, began to perspire just a little bit, and took off his coat. This is power shifted, pivoted, taken in a new direction, so that that which has resisted before can open doors. So Jesus turns in a new direction. He recedes into the background a bit, withdrawing from his hometown and visiting other neighboring villages. More than that, he hands over power to his disciples. He sends them out in pairs, in the company of each other, not alone, to bring the powerful and life-changing good news of God to the communities around the countryside. Think about it. What we see today in the Gospel of Mark is the power of giving away power to others. Now, there's risk in that, of course. What if I hand this over to others? What are they going to do with it? But Jesus embraces this and acts with a gracious power of accepting what is seen by many as a failure, and maybe was seen by himself as a failure, and then pivoting, shifting course, and giving power away. This is part of what Paul points to in the power that comes with what the world may perceive as weakness. God's life-changing power comes through the weakness that we are willing to recognize in ourselves. As the good people of Alcoholics Anonymous say, a first important step in the path to recovery and healing is to admit that I have no power in myself alone, that I need the sovereign Lord, the sovereign and almighty Lord and lover of all creation, to help make a path where I'm unable to on my own, and that I need others to support and strengthen and prod and confront me, and that the best I can do is open myself to receive the higher power that God is always offering, and the friendly powers that others around me are sharing and giving. So, friends, how will we receive one another? Yes, as we discussed last week, how will we be open to others and the world around us and allow power to flow through us freely and be available? But then, how will we receive others and what they offer? This is a question that I have for us as a nation these days. How will we receive one another? How will we cut ourselves off from each other? Is that what we're going to do? Or will we open ourselves to the possibility of receiving from each other? I hope that's what we do. How will we decide to exercise the power of receiving in this nation? How will we be together? How will we be together? This is a question on the hearts of leaders of the Puritan community that dared to cross the Atlantic to start a new settlement in this land. So let's go back before the Declaration of Independence to this earlier time when some of the deepest roots of who we are as a nation began to form. John Winthrop, a passenger and lawyer among the group of passengers, stood on one of the boats as they were about to set sail from England and gave a speech that is very much like a sermon and these days is taken as a sermon, noting how they had put themselves at the mercy of God Almighty. And he spoke to everyone's deep uncertainty of what lay ahead. He did not speak much on liberty or freedom, but on the deep and enduring need for the bonds of community and mutual care. Here is some of what he said. Now, the only way to avoid this shipwreck, not just at sea, but after landing and possibly making a mess of things, and to provide for our posterity, is to follow the counsel of Micah to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. For this end, we must be knit together in this work as one man. We must entertain each other in brotherly affection. We must be willing to abridge ourselves of our superfluities for the supply of others' necessities. We must uphold a familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberality. We must delight in each other, make others' conditions our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together, always having before our eyes our commission and community in the work, as members of the same body. So shall we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Lord then will be our God and delight to dwell among us as his own people. This is a powerful sermon. Excerpt. I worry, friends, and I pray for our nation. I pray that this nation can return to a spirit of mutual care, where my rights and my freedom take their proper back seat to care for each other and for the shared common good. I pray that we move away from a spirit of turf wars to a spirit of willingness to give to and receive from one another, and thus to a spirit of being knit together. I pray that this church, can be ambassadors and examples in all our lives of this kind of life-changing power that can flow from us, and that we can open ourselves to receive from others. Always inviting others to open themselves, along with us, to receive from the God who continues to give and give and give, because that is the very nature of who God is. Let the light switches be on. Let this be our vision. Let us open to the power flowing through the Christ, the risen Christ, and let this be our vision, our quest, our journey, and our pledge in following this Jesus who gives himself for us all. Amen.